Hello, this is the Chorus Call conference operator. Welcome to Vecima Networks' second quarter fiscal 2021 earnings conference call and webcast. As a reminder, all participants are in listen-only mode, and the conference is being recorded. After the presentation, there'll be an opportunity to ask questions. Analysts and institutional investors who wish to join the question queue, simply press star and one on your touch-tone phone. You will hear a tone acknowledging your request. If you are using a speakerphone, please lift the handset before pressing any keys. Should anyone need assistance during the conference call, they may signal an operator by pressing star and zero on their telephone. Presenting today on behalf of Vecima Networks are Sumit Kumar, President and CEO, and Dale Booth, Chief Financial Officer. Today's call will begin with executive commentary on Vecima's financial and operational performance for the second quarter fiscal 2021 results. Lastly, the call will finish with a question and answer period for analysts and institutional investors. The press release announcing the company's second quarter fiscal 2021 results, as well as detailed supplemental investor information, are posted on Vecima's website at www.vecima.com under the Investor Relations heading. The highlights provided in this call should be understood in conjunction with the company's interim condensed consolidated financial statements and accompanying notes for the 3 and 6 months ended December 31, 2020 and 2019. Certain statements in this conference call and webcast may constitute forward-looking statements within the meaning of applicable securities laws. All statements, other than statements of historical fact, are forward-looking statements. These statements include, but are not limited to, statements regarding management's intentions, belief, or current expectations with respect to market and general economic conditions, future sales and revenue expectations, future costs and operating performance. These statements are not guarantees of future performance and involve risks and uncertainties that are difficult to predict and/or are beyond our control. A number of important factors could cause actual outcomes and results to differ materially from those expressed in these forward-looking statements. These factors include, but are not limited to, the current significant general economic uncertainty and credit and financial market volatility, including the impact of COVID-19 and the distinctive characteristics of Vecima's operations and industry and customer demand that may have a material impact on or constitute risk factors in respect of Vecima's future financial performance as set forth under the heading Risk Factors in the company's annual information form dated September 24, 2020, a copy of which is available at www.sedar.com. In addition, although the forward-looking statements in this earnings call are based on what management believes are reasonable assumptions, such assumptions may prove to be incorrect. Consequently, attendees should not place undue reliance on such forward-looking statements. In addition, these forward-looking statements relate to the date on which they are made. Vecima disclaims any intention or obligation to update or revise any forward-looking statements as a result of new information, future events, or otherwise, except as required by law. At this time, I would like to turn the conference over to Mr. Kumar to proceed with his remarks. Please go ahead.
Thank you. Good morning and welcome, everyone. Thank you for joining us today. Vecima has now reached the midpoint of fiscal 2021 and, without question, this is the breakthrough year we predicted. We'll talk about all that we achieved in the second quarter, and we'll also take a look at what we see ahead for the balance of this pivotal year. Starting with an overview of second quarter results, we ramped up top-line sales to $30.4 million as our newest next-generation products quickly gained momentum. Sales were 21% higher than a year ago, and this represents our highest quarter in nearly 5 years. We also generated adjusted EBITDA of $2.5 million, which we see as a very solid performance given the foreign exchange headwinds created by the rapidly strengthening Canadian dollar over this period. In addition, the cable access business we acquired from Nokia in Q1 was close to EBITDA neutral in Q2. As you know, this is in line with our expectations for our first year of operations of the acquisition. Looking at how our business units performed, our video and broadband solutions segment had another big quarter with revenues doubling year over year. Entra products led the way again, with growing demand for our next-generation distributed access architecture products, driving Entra sales to $8 million, more than 6 times what we achieved in Q2 last year. To give you a sense of the momentum we're building with Entra, in Q4 FY20, only 6 months ago, we had 2 customers actively buying Entra DAA products. In Q1, we increased this to 13 customers, and by the end of Q2, it was 20 customers. And as we speak today, 24 customers have purchased Entra products for deployment, including multiple Tier 1 MSOs. This speaks volumes about the strength of Vecima's industry-leading DAA portfolio. Not only are the number of active customers increasing, but their order sizes are growing as well. As an example, our lead Tier 1 customer has now started scale deployment, meaning a shift to thousands of nodes from hundreds previously. Thinking about what that represents, each 1,000 nodes purchased may cover 250,000 homes with speeds of up to 10 gigabits per second. Vecima is shaping the connected world. And I want to add that the orders we're receiving track broadly across the Entra portfolio, including our Remote PHY monitoring and video DAA products, as well as our newly acquired Remote MAC-PHY and 10-gig EPON fiber-to-the-home products. The acquired portfolio accounted for $3.4 million of the $8 million of Entra sales we generated during the quarter. Combined, our Entra portfolio is now powered by multiple growth engines. And with a total of 58 customers at various stages of engagement, including the 24 that have already placed orders, we anticipate all the momentum to continue. I'll talk more about this when we provide some outlook a little later on the call, but let me summarize by saying that the era of Entra has arrived. Our commercial video products also added to the rapid growth in the second quarter VBS sales. Demand for our Terrace TT600E was particularly robust as customers continued to build out their MPEG-4 networks, and an additional Tier 1 began its associated TT600E densification program. Also on the hospitality side, we generated another $2.5 million of Terrace QAN sales in Q2, following on the very strong revenue performance of the first quarter. And I'm delighted to report that we also secured our first order for our next-generation Terrace IQ platform, an order that came from a new Tier 1 customer. That's an important milestone and one that will eventually spur a new investment cycle across the vastly deployed populations of Vecima's platforms that are at operators. All of the existing Terrace QAM units can be upgraded to Terrace IQ when an operator is ready. So we have a widely deployed base of units that can be upgraded over time to the new platforms. Much like when networks move to all digital video, that's for this first multi-year market cycle for Vecima commercial video platforms. As networks now evolve to all IP video, we have the commercial video solution required, and we have a captive audience. Turning to our content delivery and storage segment, we continue to consolidate the record new business wins of last year and generated all-time high service revenues in the process. While overall segment revenues were lower than the record results of a year ago, more pronounced quarterly revenue fluctuation is typical for the CDS segment and usually reflects the timing of large project-oriented orders, which is the nature of the business. Meanwhile, we continued to grow customer engagements for our MediaScale X solutions during the quarter. That included adding an additional IPTV customer win, deploying across our full line of IP linear, IP video on demand, and cloud DVR solutions in MediaScale X. We also won 3 new broadcast customers for our content agent post-production management system in Q2. At the same time, we continue to advance our leading MediaScale X portfolio, introducing new functionality in the areas of visual trick play, multi-tenancy, dynamic ad insertion, integrations with additional ecosystem partners, and support for new content formats. At the close of the second quarter, our CDS segment remained exceptionally well positioned for the eventual industry-wide migration to IPTV, with a customer base well over 100 customers and a leading portfolio of IPTV solutions. In the telematics segment, we had another solid quarter with continued subscription expansion among our growing base of municipal government customers. We also made further headway into the movable assets market, where we're marketing our Bluetooth asset tracking tags, associated vehicle telemetry collectors, and the software subscriptions that leverage that data to customers in the restoration and emergency medical services industries. Overall, it was a significant quarter of growth for Vecima, with strong momentum on the DAA side, and much more to come as both DAA and IPTV continue to ramp up in the interrelated way that fuels Vecima's strategy. And at this point, I'll turn the call over to Dale to provide more detail on our financial results. Dale?
Thank you, Sumit. For the purposes of this call, we assume that everyone has seen our second quarter fiscal 2021 news release and financial statements that are posted on Vecima's website. I will present the relevant numbers in discussions around overall results, market segments, operational expenses, and the balance sheet. Please note that results for the second quarter of fiscal 2021 include a full quarter of operating results from our acquisition of the Nokia cable access portfolio we acquired on August 7, 2020. Starting with consolidated sales, for the 3 months ended December 31, 2020, we generated sales of $30.4 million. This was an increase of 21% over the $25.1 million in Q2 last year, and an increase of 9% from $27.8 million in Q1 fiscal 21. The year-over-year increase reflects an increase in product sales from the video and broadband solution segment, driven by our new Entra family of products, and partially offset by lower sales in the content delivery and storage segment. Within the video and broadband solutions segment, for the second quarter of fiscal 21, we generated sales of $16.5 million. This was up 98% from Q2 last year and 22% higher than last quarter. Further deployments of our next generation DAA products contributed second quarter Entra revenue of $8 million, significantly up from $1.1 million in Q2 fiscal 2020, and up 54% from the $5.2 million in Q1 fiscal 21. Entra sales included $3.4 million from the DAA products acquired from Nokia in Q1 fiscal 21. In all, Entra DAA platforms are now being sold to 24 operators across five continents. Second quarter Terrace family sales were up 51% to $5.9 million from the $3.9 million in Q2 fiscal 20, and up 67% from the $3.5 million in Q1 fiscal 21, reflecting higher sales of our TC600E products. Terrace QAM sales for the second quarter was $2.5 million, down from $3.1 million in Q2 last year, and down from $4.2 million in Q1 fiscal 21. We anticipate healthy demand for our Terrace QAM platform through the second half of fiscal 21 as operators continue their commercial rollout for the current generation while preparing for the next generation Terrace IQ platform. Second quarter revenues of $12.5 million for the content delivery and storage segment were down slightly from the $13 million in the first quarter of fiscal 21. As the segment continued to consolidate its record new business wins from 2020. These quarterly sales variances are typical for the CDS segment and reflect the timing of large orders. The total CDS segment sales included $7.5 million in product revenue and a record $5 million in revenue from services. Turning to the telematics segment, in line with our expectations, sales in the second quarter were at $1.4 million, on par with the $1.4 million in the same period last year, and up slightly from the $1.3 million last quarter. Gross margin for the second quarter was at 50%, with a gross profit of $15.2 million, up from the 47% in Q1 fiscal 21, but down from the extraordinary 64% in Q2 fiscal 2020. Video and broadband solutions gross margin was 43% in Q2, as compared to 58% in Q2 of last year, and slightly lower than the 44% in Q1 last quarter. The year-over-year decrease in gross margin reflects different product mixes each quarter, including a lower percentage of high-margin software sales as compared to the prior year quarter. Gross margins in the content delivery and storage segment for Q2 increased to 57% from 48% in Q1 and compared to 67% in Q2 last year, reflecting a lower percentage of high-margin software sales in the current quarter as compared to the prior year quarter. In the telematics segment, gross margin in the second quarter increased to 70% from 65% in Q1 fiscal 20 and from 63% in Q2 fiscal 20, a year-over-year improvement reflecting lower product costs in the current quarter. Turning to second quarter operating expenses, the notable changes year over year were as follows. R&D expenses increased to $7.2 million from $4.5 million in Q2 fiscal 20, primarily reflecting the addition of product lines acquired from Nokia, higher amortization of deferred development costs, and lower deferred development expense as a percentage of total expenditure. We continue to invest in research and development to support the launch of new products. Until these new products are commercialized, development costs are deferred to future periods. Sales and marketing expenses for the second quarter increased slightly to $3.6 million from $3.4 million in the same period last year. This increase was due to higher staffing costs from the Nokia portfolio acquisition, partially offset by lower travel, entertainment, and trade show expenses year over year as a result of COVID-19. G&A expenses increased to $4.6 million in Q2 fiscal 21 from $4.1 million in Q2 fiscal 20, primarily reflecting the additional costs associated with the newly acquired operations. Total OPEX in Q1 increased to $16.6 million from $12 million during the same period last year. This reflects higher operating expenses in the video and broadband solutions segment, reflecting the addition of operating expenses related to the newly acquired Nokia Cable Access Technology portfolio, and the share-based compensation expense increase related to the vesting of the first tranche of our performance-based share units. I note that reported R&D expense in a period is typically different than the actual expenditure. That's because certain R&D expenditures are deferred until product commercialization. Adjusting for deferrals, amortization of deferred development costs, and income tax credits, actual R&D investment for the quarter increased to $9.1 million, or 30% of sales, from $6.2 million, or 25% of sales in the same period last year. The increase reflects higher expenditure from the Nokia portfolio, higher staffing costs, subcontracting costs, and prototyping costs as our next-generation product families move closer to full-scale commercial deployment. We reported an operating loss of $1.5 million in Q2 fiscal 21 as compared to operating income of $4 million in Q2 fiscal 20. The $5.5 million decrease was due to a decrease in contribution in both the video and broadband solutions and in the content delivery and storage segments for $2.6 and $3.2 million respectively, partially offset by a slight increase of $0.3 million in contribution from the telematics segment year over year. The current year loss was impacted by the foreign exchange loss of $1.2 million and the share-based compensation expense of $1.2 million related to the vesting of performance-based share units. Net loss for the quarter was $3.1 million, or 14 cents per share, from a net income of $3.6 million or 16 cents per share in Q2 fiscal 20. Turning to the balance sheet, we ended the first quarter with $20.8 million in cash and short-term investments. Working capital decreased to $46.2 million from $55.3 million in Q4 fiscal 20, mainly reflecting the Nokia portfolio acquisition. We note that working capital balances can also be subject to significant swings quarter to quarter. Our product shipments are lumpy, reflecting the requirement of our major customers. Other timing issues like contracts with greater than 30-day payment terms also affect working capital, particularly if shipments are back-end weighted for a quarter. Finally, cash flow used in operations for the second quarter was $5.5 million from cash flow provided by operations of $4.3 million during the same period last year. The $4.8 million decrease reflects a $0.4 million increase in cash flow from non-cash working capital and $5.2 million decrease in operating cash flow. Now back to Sumit.
Thank you, Dale. As we move into the second half of fiscal 2021, Vecima's products are directly addressing two of the biggest market opportunities in the global cable industry, DAA and IPTV. The transition to these newer technologies is always expected to happen, but high levels of utilization across our customers' networks have put tremendous pressure on them to expand capacity sooner rather than later. The combination of these factors, a step-up demand for networks as the world copes with virtualization, on top of an underlying continuous trend of bandwidth growth, is driving strong demand for our products, and we're anticipating robust growth for our Entra DAA products in the second half. As I mentioned earlier, our lead Tier 1 customer has begun their transition to scale deployment. By year end, we anticipate that several other operators at multiple tiers will be into scale deployment as well. Again, I want to emphasize that many of these customers are engaged across all parts of the Entra DAA portfolio, remote PHY, remote MAC-PHY, 10 gig EPON, fiber to the home optical, management, and video solutions. Our strategy of building the industry's foremost DAA offering has positioned us to engage with customers no matter what flavor of DAA they're pursuing. This is providing many pathways to growth, both the differing and unique needs from one customer to the next are covered, as is the roadmap of evolution and enhancement to the network we can show and provide to each and every customer. On the IPTV front, we continue to see fiscal 2021 as a consolidation year for our content delivery and storage segment. The work of onboarding and scaling the many new customer wins from last year will carry on through the second half. Accordingly, and as before, we're anticipating measured growth for Media Scale X sales through the balance of this year. But as I indicated earlier, IPTV is nearing its own shift to scale deployment, and we're positioned to capitalize on it going forward. Put the market opportunities of DAA and IPTV together, and Vecima is embarking on a period of significant growth and evolution of our corporation to the next level. We've had just a hint of it in the first half, and we expect to see more of it in the second half. Vecima has also worked diligently to manage the ramp-up in terms of building strong working capital, even as the pandemic continues to create some macro uncertainty in the global technology supply chain. We are well positioned today to respond to customers' growing needs through our anticipation and forecasting. Deployment is expanding, and as our top line builds, we see leverage building, translating to strong EBITDA performance and increased cash flow. We see highly profitable growth ahead. I'll quickly add that in addition to DAA and IPTV growth, we're expecting continued demand for our Terrace QAM solution and the emerging opportunities for our next generation Terrace IQ platform in the second half. So commercial video as part of VBS is also expected to grow year over year too. we anticipate continued incremental growth in our telematics segment as well. So across the company, our strategies are coming to fruition, and fiscal 2021 is shaping up to be the breakthrough year we've been preparing for. I want to close today with a thank you to the entire Vecima team. We've reached this exciting place in our history in large part because of our people's ingenuity and drive. I also want to acknowledge our shareholders, whose commitment has played its own important role in helping us reach this point. We're tremendously excited about Vecima's future, and we look forward to telling you about more progress and wins in the quarters ahead. That concludes our formal comments for today. We'd now be happy to take questions. Operator?
Thank you. We will now begin the question and answer session for analysts and institutional investors. To join the question queue, you may press star, then one on your telephone keypad. You will hear a tone acknowledging your request. If you are using a speakerphone, please pick up your handset before pressing any keys. To withdraw your question, please press star, then two. We will pause for a moment as callers join the queue. Our first question comes from Chris Thompson of PI Financial. Please go ahead.
Great. Thanks for taking my question, guys.
Hi, Chris.
Sumit, can you give us. Hey. It's been a long time. Sumit, can you just give us a sense of the dollar value opportunity that exists in the 58 MSO accounts that you're currently engaged with?
Yeah. So, you know, 58 engagements and 40 are either into the lab trial stage or beyond, and as we said today, 24 of those customers have already started purchase activity. You know, and there's multiple tiers of operators and multiple products in the portfolio that reach across those engagements all the way from, you know, Remote PHY to the fiber to home optical products of the Nokia portfolio. So, you know, we are seeing this pull through where, you know, the revenue profile of Entra has been enhancing. We did $5.3 million in fiscal 2020, and we're already, you know, somewhere up around $13.2 million in the first half of fiscal 2021 alone with a ramping profile. You know, I'm not going to be able to quantify today, you know, exactly how we translate the  48 and the 24 into what that means, but we are seeing this meaningful ramp in family growth that we've already observed in the first half and continuing onwards and upwards. And, you know, we've provided some guidance as we close the acquisition in terms of what that's bringing in a 12-month period, that being, you know, 10%-15% of our fiscal 2020 consolidated sales. And we're feeling quite, you know, positive about how that's looking and broaching towards the upper end of that range. And then meanwhile, you know, the organic products within the Entra family are also on this growth curve. And, you know, we see ourselves in fiscal 2021 definitely breaking through double-digit million through the teens and into the lower 20s. So those two pieces together give you a sense of what's going to happen this year. And that's, you know, relatively early stages and early, you know, deployment take up from those set of engagements within fiscal 2021 at this point.
Okay, that's helpful. I mean, for somebody new to the sector trying to understand the envelope that you have in front of you, can you maybe price a node? Like, how many thousands of dollars on average would you get per node?
Now, that's a tricky one for a few different reasons because it has a lot of variability depending on the product. And as I've said, we've kind of built up this all singing, all dancing distributed access portfolio going all the way from a Remote PHY node to a MAC-PHY node to, you know, a PON, 10-gig EPON, OLT node to fiber to the home. And across that very wide spectrum, which, you know, may have multiple of these products in play within even a single customer as they go on, you know, a region-by-region basis and select from these technologies, you know, trying to pinpoint ASP at a singular level is tricky. What I will say is that, you know, as we move from a Remote PHY to a MAC-PHY to a PON platform, You know, we have more and more of the overall access networks content within our platform, and that accrues also, you know, other you know, revenue components such as licensing capacity, whereas the remote PHY node, you know, may be a full capacity story. So, you know, it's as we speak more, Chris, we'll try to get you some more color on how the different pieces play together. But you can imagine, you know, a remote PHY node being on a lower end of the spectrum, and then on upward from there on the MacFi and the PON with upside and licensing capacity, which will occur over time. So as you can tell from what I'm saying, it gets into a very complex story across this very wide ecosystem we've built.
Okay, understood. And it looks like you're on the bench or in trials now with about 16 operators. Can you just remind us how long the typical trial runs and the number of years, you know, it takes for the MSO to migrate to the new generation solution once they start going live?
Yeah, so 50 engagements and 40 of those are either in lab trial or all the way through purchasing in that kind of category of the sales cycle, lab to purchasing. And some of the dynamics is, you know, as you engage a customer, you of course first have your marketing and architectural meetings. You have requirements being refined over time. You know, you're adjusting your development roadmap to intercept, you know, that customer specific needs for hardware, software, and timing. And then you move into, you know, a more formalized refinement process. Get your platform into their advanced engineering access labs, and they do this, put it through the PACES testing, generating feedback and iteration and software drops kind of continuously. And then you get into this more formal lab qualification cycle, which, you know, as we've said before, investments are going at a high number of customers, at least 40 of those 58 are past that stage. And then you get that formal lab approval, and the operator will look to move towards a field trial, a customer-facing field trial, as they get quite close to field deployment at scale. So once you get to a field trial phase, it's very formalized, and you're headed towards deployment in the near term. So that whole sales cycle, you know, it can vary from operator to operator. Certainly a customer like a tier one, you know, can build for a couple of years through that whole process, going from the start to the finish. Of course, you know, as it always is, you know, smaller customers, smaller tiers of operators are more agile and can get through that flow pretty quickly. And we've seen that amongst our 24 that we count as customers, that we have both the large tier ones and lower tier customers alike. And it's pretty organically following this color I'm giving you, that the larger customers are going to have a lengthier, more formal process that we've gone through there.
Okay, that's really helpful. Thank you. And remind us, the 58 customers, are they all formerly existing customers, or did you win some new customers?
Yeah, no, several wins there. We've been incrementing wins, you know, across the last 2-3 years to build that list. In many cases, of course, you know, when you consider consolidated Vecima, including the IPTV products, the DAA, the commercial video hospitality, we've sold to those customers in the past for decades. And you know, there's certainly some brand new logos that neither us nor you know, Gainspeed/Nokia before the acquisition had sold to. That are picking in, and we've seen this very, very exciting aspect of global pull-in. You know, several of the tier ones, twos, and threes in our 58 engagements are around the world, and there's certainly some new and exciting logos in that camp. But you know, 33 years, Vecima's been in the industry. We've worked with a lot of these customers over the many generations of many different technologies that have gone on in the cable network.
Okay, yeah, I know that for sure. And then when you're winning the new logos, are you winning on technology factors or price?
Yeah, it's very much that we've kind of you know, the industry has been building towards this transition from centralized to distributed access network architecture for the past, almost 8 to 10 years. And Vecima was a pioneer the whole way through that, the conceptualization of going in this distributed architecture direction, as was Gainspeed. Now the two of us are together, our Vecima today after the acquisition. So we have this kind of pioneering DAA intellectual property and technology, under our umbrella. So, putting ourselves in a position as this, the leading DAA vendor in terms of what our capabilities are. With the scope of products, if you look relative to the rest of the industry, that alone is a very attractive prospect to customers like tier one customers who have very wide and varied networks themselves, very large networks, and on a regional or even neighborhood basis, they may elect to, have an evolution to remote PHY. They may string some fiber to the home where they could create that business case. There may be areas where they have poor signal quality performance that they need to get higher fidelity with something like a MACPHY node. So, all of this is kind of creating this elevated circle for Vecima when the industry has been working towards distributing the network for many years now. And we put together this, resoundingly leading portfolio and also the best talent in the industry is now pooled with us in terms of distributed access architecture. So the types of roadmaps we can show them as well as the scope we can show them today, we find that that's, bringing us to the table at almost each and every DAA deal on the globe.
Okay, thanks, Sumit. And maybe just a couple quick ones for Dale. On the gross margin, should we expect the gross margin to improve as you continue to ramp out the new Entra family deployments?
Yeah, so on our gross margin, just let me get my table here. Our expectations are that our target range is 49 to 53, and it'll depend on, as Sumit was saying, what customer selects what Entra product line. We're looking at that with our ongoing measured growth in our CDS segment. And, and our Terrace transition over to our new product. So we're still at that. That's the same guidance we had provided last quarter, Chris, at this 49 to 53.
Yeah, so okay, it's all consistent with our, range there, the 49 to 53. We have, as I outlined before, and when we had the conversation around ASPs and whatnot, we've got higher and lower gross margin products within the mix, higher and lower in terms of network content licenses. You have very high volume, lower margin products that have, operating leverage for us to the bottom line. And then you have some very healthy gross margin products, very exciting gross margin products in the mix too, once you start thinking about licensing and more of the network content.
Okay, and on the R&D and the deferred development costs, can you talk a little bit about your roadmap, like whatever you can disclose? And then also, do you have an annual range, like a target range for the deferred development cost?
Sure. So again, for the consolidated business with the Nokia acquisition expenses all in, we're planning for R&D expense to be on an average pace of about $7.4 to $7.5 million per quarter for the remainder of fiscal 21. And this is driven by ongoing commercialization activity, increases in the now combined Entra family, as well as CDS. We expect the full year, fiscal year 21 average for cash R&D to be in the range of 9 to 9.1 million per quarter. The increase from 8.2 in Q1 to 9.1 in Q2 is largely driven by hitting a full quarter of the acquisition R&D in Q2 and only about a half a quarter of it in Q1. And 70% of the expenses coming in from the acquisition are R&D headcount. And then for the second half, we're taking the combined R&D pool and continuing to go after the accelerated commercialization activity happening for the Entra family and CDS. Again, with Vecima having the world's best portfolio in DAA and IPTV, that will drive up the cash R&D a bit to take us to the full year average of 9 to 9.1 per quarter. It's a combination of increased prototype activity and modest surgical headcount. And when we model out the growth potential of this incremental R&D growth, it comes at a really attractive percentage of sales going forward.
Okay, that's very helpful. Thank you. And what about acquisitions? Do you have any other opportunities in the pipeline that you're thinking about?
Yeah, I think, you know, we've done a great job. This, you know, was a sizable acquisition that we did on the Nokia cable portfolio in Q1. And we've done a lot of integration work since then. There was, you know, about 80 to 95 employees overall that were brought in, and four locations, two in the U.S. and two in China. So we've been quite active in closing that deal. With that said, you know, there are always, you know, opportunistic situations that can flow through, whether it's on the tuck-in side or something more scale. You know, given that we've kind of assembled this portfolio, which, you know, is very effectual in terms of what everything we can do today in terms of DA with the products we have. You know, I don't foresee anything sitting out in front of us that's an instant. We could look at related technologies and whatnot that can enhance us a little bit more. It's kind of an eyes open and execution mode at this moment in time.
Okay, Sumit and Dale, thanks a lot for taking my questions and congrats on the great quarter.
Thanks so much, Chris.
Thanks, Chris.
Once again, analysts and institutional investors who would like to ask a question should press star and one on their touchtone phone. We will pause for a moment while any additional callers join the queue. Our next question comes from Ole Pragel, a private investor. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good morning. Great news.
Good morning, Ole. Thanks.
Thanks, so, Ole.
Now that you have built this new Entra and what you're focusing on now, out of the total market, what percentage share does Vecima have in the total market?
Yeah, so I mean, the total market, and we've talked about this before, for Doxis has been this kind of billion-dollar plus market and growing over time. The DAA component, which I've been talking a lot about, is where we're kind of gaining leadership through what we've done. And the industry, just as I said in the press release, in the very early stages of starting to roll out DAA. So you can see that you have this overall market that's very, very large, and then DAA is starting to grow as envisioned by the industry, that DAA is going to be the future. So along with that trajectory, we feel that within DAA, our market shares is very strong, and as DAA becomes a higher proportion of the overall market for Doxis, you know, that'll translate likewise into how meaningful that can be for Vecima's, you know, corporate growth.
Well, so you're saying that you're a leader in that space, and the potential competition will have to catch up.
Yeah, and then, you know, it's early in the market cycle for DAA too. So, you know, what we are seeing at the customers that are rolling out, and when we have, you know, the competitors in the mix as well, you know, as we're having a very strong track record of design wins. And there will always be a spread of that market, and that's, you know, operators have to, you know, maintain more than one vendor into their landscape in terms of their risk with a particular vendor. So, you know, there are other vendors. But, you know, as I said before, when I'm speaking with Chris, when we say, you know, any DAA project that's happening worldwide that we're brought into the table, that is, you know, a reflection of how we situate ourselves competitively.
So now that you build the market and the customers are coming, is there any restrictions in meeting the customer demand as far as whether it's supply chain or manufacturing?
Yeah, we've built up, you know, some great capacity in Saskatoon. As you know, we've got a large manufacturing facility there. And we've, of course, been doing our design for manufacturing for years now. That has given us a very strong capacity relative to what we see upcoming. We also, on the acquired Nokia products, leverage a contract manufacturer, one of the global majors in that space. And of course, you know, being a global major contract manufacturer on that side, they've got a lot of capacity for scale. So, you know, capacity-wise, we're feeling good about how we can connect to everything we see coming, both in Saskatoon and with the contract manufacturing on the Kia product side. The supply chain, as we've seen, you know, COVID's been around for a long time. And there may be some lagging effects of that in the global technology supply chain where lead times are broadening out. So we've taken advantage of that. We've gotten, you know, crispening forecasts from our customers and used that to drive our forecast to our supply chain. So, you know, we've had to be more cognizant of managing against this backdrop of this global expansion of lead times that's happening, not just in our industry, but in many industries. So we feel comfortable that, you know, we're able to stay ahead of it.
Okay. Yeah, well, there's an awful lot of information to absorb here, so maybe I can call you sometime and because I've got lots of questions, but I don't want to take up everybody's time here.
Fair enough, Ole, and for sure we can speak.
Okay, thanks.
Thank you.
Thanks, Ole.
Once again, to join the question queue, please press star, then one. As there appears to be no further questions, this concludes today's conference call. You may now disconnect your lines. Thank you for participating and have a pleasant day.